The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Show. Let's start recording. Let's get going.
I read your mind.
Why, thank you, Daniele Wungerton.
Who is that?
That's you. BetMGM is a place for soccer in Canada. Do you know that? And it presents Footy Prime.
Is that right? I knew that.
Yep. Yep. This is an rare night recording. Now, I have not had a single drink. I know Jimmy has just got in from one soccer. He probably hasn't. Craig doesn't drink. So, Dubs. Wonga, Friday night, 10:30. Have you had a drink?
Yes.
Really?
I had a beer while I made supper for the kids.
All right, that's okay.
Just the one.
Well, to celebrate what has been a momentous night in Canadian soccer, as we finally, after all these months and years, heard the squad will be enjoying at this year's World Cup. Craig Forrest, you crushed it, by the way, on TSN.
Oh, so good.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Can you say
you are my favorite?
What's the line again? You're in the World Cup.
You're going to the World Cup.
Can you say it to us, Craig?
Yeah, I didn't write the script.
No, say it to us. Say, Dan Wong, you're going to the World Cup.
Dan Wong. You got very little chance of ever going to the World Cup.
Imagine that was what you filmed for the guys who didn't make it. Straight to their inbox.
I was saying, yeah, where's the Ralph Frizzo? You are not going to the World Cup.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah.
Awful. Yeah. Although, you know what? He might be going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
So all the injured players made this squad, as you by now know. They're still injured. A lot of these players, they're still not in full training, most of them. Fonzie doesn't even arrive until the 31st in Edmonton. Is that tomorrow? 31st? No, Sunday.
Sunday.
And they really don't know what to expect. They've spoken to Bayern Munich. They've heard good things. He's training. He's running on the pitch, they said, which is good news, but they don't know. But the fact is they can replace any injured player 24 hours before the tournament begins. What are the odds, Craig, do you think we're going to see a slightly different looking squad by the time a ball is kicked in anger?
You mean regarding Alphonso Davies?
No, not Fonzie necessarily. Oh, no, the injured players. Alfie Jones, Moise Mabido, Luc de Fougerolle, Richie Larea.
Fuck me.
Promise David.
Honestly, you're looking through the list, it's amazing. They got 9 defenders here. I'm looking at who hasn't been injured on here, who isn't injured, who's coming back. When was the last time Alfie Jones played a game? Last year?
Boxing Day.
Boxing
Day.
December.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. A healthy team, if that group of players are healthy, we know what they can do. But it's a worry with it. We're looking at a bunch of players here that they're not going to get a lot of minutes. These two games are probably very important, really. But let's see. What do you think, Jimmy?
I think there's a very good chance that a player or two could join the squad before going in the World Cup. I think these two games are going to be big. I think they'll get an idea of some of the injured players, where they're at. You know, not even just physically, but mentally, after some of them have been out for so long. So I think it'll be a good test to see where everybody's at. But I definitely think there could be one or two changes before the World Cup starts. That's for sure. Because I think maybe certain guys may be ahead, like maybe Ralph Prizo is ahead of Alfie right now. I mean, look, the one thing that I'm worried about is you got Fonzie, who might not even play any of the group stage. Mm-hmm. You'll have Richie Larea, who's going to end up playing at left back. Now, if Richie gets injured, which defender is going to play left back?
Mm.
It's not going to be Bombito. It's not going to be Cornelius. It won't be De Fruijerol. It won't be Alfie Jones. It won't be Waterman. Maybe Segura comes over, but that's why I think Bassong should have been one that you take, knowing that if anything goes down that left side, you've got a natural left-sided fullback that can play in that position.
I don't disagree with that, but remember, he's a guy who's coming off a hamstring as well, right?
Another one.
Yeah, but he's fit.
Yeah.
He's fit.
Not playing very much, yeah. No, I agree. But you do have the flexibility in what you just said, all the different scenarios and piecing together the puzzle that is the back line, a very rickety, old and fraying puzzle, right? Because you're right that this team on paper looks formidable. You compare it to the 2022 squad, there was no depth, the back line was of concern, there was no pace. You've got a great balance of youth and experience in this squad when healthy. So what is the true state of this squad in terms of everybody back? Like the injured players coming back at different percentages, Sharms, you're asking the likelihood of, you know, a Nelson or a Prizo or a Bassong, you know, training players who are going to make the trip to Edmonton, replacing somebody, especially on the back line. Like for us for a long time, the discussion was who is going to make the squad between Prizo and Waterman. Now they both very likely will make it because of the conditions of Alfie Jones in particular, but it could be Richie, it could be Moyes, it could be, I don't think Alphonso Davies ever gets swapped off. I think just the likelihood of him galvanizing the squad, providing a source of motivation for the squad to get beyond the group stage and then dropping in to like a team that's growing in strength and surging into the knockouts. And then you get to drop in one of the best left backs in the entire world to your squad. Like he is always going to be a lock, no matter what the state of his return to fitness is. But it's I think that it's unlikely, Sharms, to answer your question in a very long-winded way, it's unlikely that the squad resembles this one in 2 weeks.
I asked Jesse a really great question, I thought, afterwards, just saying that.
Hello. Well done. Well done, me.
I don't like this Charlotte Sharms.
Let me see if you agree. So I said to him, if how deep would this team need to go in the World Cup for you to have a fully healthy first choice 11? And he actually said he thinks that by the first knockout round, he could have that.
Which is 32?
32, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He said that, you know, players they're very impressed and surprised, in fact, in some cases, with the progress. But some guys aren't ready right now, but there's 2 weeks to go still.
That was a very good question.
I thought it was pretty good.
Was he bemused by it or slightly irritated by it?
By Charlotte Sharms?
Yeah.
Well, no, I softened him first. I said, listen, I've got to ask you about the injuries. I know you hate answering these questions, but it's a big story. And he smiled and goes, yeah, I get it. So I softened him before I went in for the kill.
When you ask that question, did you put your tongue in your cheek and be like...
No, he just literally said, I think that's a really good question.
Yeah, I did.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I looked at the camera.
And
that's what I just asked him. There's no controversies. There's nothing even really to get upset about, though, is there, with this squad? I mean, okay, the Prizo omission, okay. Shaft made it, which I think we're all really happy about.
Mm-hmm. You guys all chose Waterman as the guy that would make it.
I have Prizo actually over Waterman just because of the versatility. But whatever, I'm fine with Joel making it.
Can I just say, just speaking of patting us on the back or patting yourself on the back, roster.
It was.
I did a thing for CBC 10 days ago. That's my roster. Just saying.
You know what? I did too.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I did too, and it was exactly my roster.
Oh,
Yeah. I didn't do it for CBC.
You misspelled rooster.
The only one that I didn't have was Alfie Jones. And I had Presorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Walker. Understandable.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it still might be the case, right? But like you mentioned, the two healthy defenders are Segura and Joel Waterman. I mean, Ali has played plenty of games, last 90 minutes, so he's healthy. But as far as who's played a number of weeks or months without any concerns, that two out of nine. And Jefferson got dropped, and Jesse Marsh said he got dropped because we had to bring more defenders. That's tough, right? If you're Dan Jefferson, he's young enough, he'll have other opportunities, but that's got to be difficult to know that, man, I was right there, but because of all these guys falling around me, I'm the sacrificial lamb, essentially, which I think he was.
Yeah.
Poor lamb.
That sucks.
Poor little lamb.
Yeah, it stinks. It's not a nice position to be in. I was thinking about like the two World Cups that I went to, like I was a lock. I wasn't a fringe player. But then the 2008 Olympics, I was coming off knee surgery and my status was very uncertain. And I was probably like a Schaaf or like an Oso, where you might be on some people's rosters and other people have you off and they don't see your value. So I just remember the feeling of elation eventually, but initially it's relief because you want it so badly and you don't care how you take part. You don't care what role you're going to play. And I knew that I wasn't going to see the pitch too much, and I got a half against Sweden, and that was a bonus because I just thought I was there for vibes and for leadership and for funny dances occasionally. But you know, like you figure out a way to make yourself valuable on that team. And obviously I think every single guy, like there's going to be some guys who don't see the pitch, and they have, they've told Jesse Marsh by way of their character and their play and their training, why they merit a spot.
That's why you're on the podcast too, right? You don't really contribute that much, but you bring the vibes.
That's right.
Yeah, bring it. She's all about the vibes.
That will be on our pop-up shop next week.
It was
here for the vibes.
I was thinking what Jimmy said, and I hadn't thought about this, but you know, these are all young bodies getting better, but it's the mental aspect. Jimmy mentioned both the mental and physical. That will be quite a test. Like even these exhibition matches, these friendlies or whatever they're called, warm-up matches now.
You got it. Second time. Friendlies.
They are. They're going to be, well, I don't know how friendly. I hate using it. I think it's a silly term. Because they mean something and they're not friendly and they're all the above, right? So, but can you guys speak about how hard that is, like coming back, even from a niggle, even from not a career ender, but just even that, like a little tight hamstring? Like it must make you a little hesitant, and everything's got to be working properly for you to feel optimal out there.
Well, I mean, you guys as out players can talk about it a lot more than me, but you know, you can be a great runner in a straight line, and you go out there and you start playing football, it's completely different. Your heart rate's going up to 250, then it's dropping down. Then you're walking, then you're sprinting, then you're walking. Like, and this is, you know, it's difficult for sure. And it takes a while to get into that match fitness. I remember even just being off like 3 or 4 weeks in off season and going back and doing preseason. You think, well, I can't be that out of shape. It's like, yeah, like in 3 or 4 weeks, it's gone.
It's like a punch in the face. Oh no, I still have a ways to go. And that's what a lot of these guys are living, or what they went through prior to this announcement in Charlotte, where he's running the team like he did in advance of Copa America, where they did have success. But it's sometimes it's just like it absolutely smashes you in the face, the reality check of it all.
Yeah. Do you know, even remember when I was, you know, in your prime and you're fit, middle of the season, the manager's like, okay, guys, you got 2-3 days off, or it was like an international window. And I used to hate it because that day four when I came back, I was a bag of shit. And it took me a couple of days to get going again, to get back in the swing of things. Yes. So I actually hated the days off at times. Yeah. One day off, okay. But you give me 2 or 3, and then I was like, oh, this is no good. remember at Norwich, I think I've told this story as well, where I tore my hip flexor and I was out for, what, 4 months, 5 months, and trying to get back into the swing of things and catch the fitness levels of the rest of the team. I chased the season. I just couldn't get it.
Yeah, it's the rhythm of it. You know, we talk about that, like strikers especially being out, but just any player. It's the fitness. It's getting back and replicating all the things you need to do in order to just feel like yourself on the pitch. But then it's how you relate to others as well. It's almost like everything feels twice as hard to just like touch the ball, like to lay it off to somebody, to play really simply. You're like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to first couple touches, just get right back into it. But everything feels overcomplicated. So there's a lot going on mentally, like to your question, Wonger, but physically it's really tough to just get back to those levels.
Yeah. I think it depends on the individual as well, right? There's some, some guys, as you all know, could have 5 days off and then go play a match and they'd be flying.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So it's completely up to the individual,
for example.
But you know, I look at the players today, they're absolute beasts. You know, the way they train, they prepare, it is different. We're in a different age in football with sports science, and players are buying into it, buying into nutrition. They're looking after themselves differently. And I think that's why the recovery is so much quicker than what it probably was in the past.
Did you see some of the video of Promise in his recuperation? It looked bloody painful as hell. He's built like a brick shit house. Some of that band work. So painful, but he put everything into it, right? And his interview, as usual, with Manny Schinetti was excellent post draw as well. I thought, that personality oozing through as well, right? And saying, basically, Jesse's banking on me, so I better bank on myself. You know, I love that.
So good.
So you're telling me though, ex-athletes, that there's no way any of these guys are going to be on form, on top form. It's impossible, given what they've been through.
Well, we're not saying that, are we?
We're
just saying it's going to be difficult for them, but I think some guys will be rising to the occasion. I think some guys are going to surprise a lot of people, just how fit they are and how ready and motivated they are. You got to think as well, the psychological part takes over a lot as well, and the players will fight through it because what's at stake? You know, it's for me... And someone says you can play in a World Cup at home in Toronto. I'm doing whatever it takes to get my ass ready for this match or this tournament, whatever it takes. And we all know you never played a game 100% fit, never in your life, as you get going through a season. You've always got something going on, a little niggle, you're injured, you're hurt, but you're playing through things. And these guys will be ready for it. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to do whatever it takes to play. How could you not give over 150% to get yourself ready going into this match? You have to be so mentally focused. It's ridiculous.
I just don't know about it. It would be the technical aspect of it, not so much the pain barrier type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, just getting back into the rhythm of things.
Well, I would also like, when they're doing this sports science, are they not pulling some of these guys in and going, hey, let's test you on the muscle machine or whatever the, you know what I mean? Like a cat. Mm-hmm. I don't know all the.
It's called the muscle machine.
I heard that. Yes. But that's what I used to call myself back in the day. The muscle machine.
It's just his own t-shirt. The one that my dad used to have with like the springs with the two handles. Yeah. To get on the old muscle machine.
I could see Wonger back in the day, that guy going into a party, going to pretending to rip his shirt off but can't. You know those guys that just try everything and it just can't rip it.
Except Wonger refers to himself as the muscle machine.
I'm the muscle machine. Fucking thing won't rip.
I had a good my daughter walked down. I'm not going to say which one to embarrass her, but she had, I'm just sitting there walking down and
50-50.
Yeah. 50-50. Yeah. She walks down the stairs with this new t-shirt and I'm trying to read it. And then I finally understand what it says. It says, just so you know, I'm going to fart soon. And I thought it was so good. I was this is, you know, like a pretty 19, 20-year-old
girl. Oh, so now we know who it is.
Young woman wearing this Oh, yeah. Take the piss t-shirt. It fucking killed me. I was laughing my head off.
Yeah, you definitely know it's Wonger's daughter.
Yeah. I do think, yes, though, Sharms, to go back, like, I think that there's a little bit of a runway. Of course, the window is closing for them to get fit before June 12th, but they're going to be closely monitored and managed. They're going to be looking at their metrics, all of their markers, like the GPS, to very carefully load manage all of these players and to get them the rehab and all the treatment and the muscle machines that they need, right? So they're going to work their way back incrementally to 70%, 80%, whatever it is. And then that's going to keep going, right? That number hopefully is going to keep getting ratcheted up. But I do want to ask you guys, like, if we're talking about a Moise Bambito, we know the, like, the breakneck speed that he can run at, like, pace for days, right? You would even throw maybe like a Richie Larea in that. I wouldn't necessarily put Alfie Jones in the same category. Jacob Schaffelberg, explosive, dynamic player. I say the same thing about a Promise David. I think you look at these guys, my concern is, like Alphonso Davies, slightly different animals, that it's not like an Oso or a Kone, like, where you're, yeah, there are bursts of speed and there's accelerations because that's the way that you play the sport. But you look at these outliers of what makes Canada good, these game breaker type players, is that turn of pace. And that for me gives me pause, because then I think you're increasing your likelihood of putting yourself sort of at risk of injury again, just because of the way that you play.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the, our great strengths that really will terrify teams if we have that pace.
But it could also end up being our Achilles heel, because a lot of our players, sure, that we're going to rely upon need that in order to be at their best.
Yeah
precisely. And you want them playing and not thinking about it. They can't have one eye on their hammy or on their groin or whatever it is. They got to be playing free. And I guess you just have to, I mean, in that
no scenario, underwear, just free.
No, but you just have to. You can't. It's funny. Again, another great question I asked Jesse. Actually, it wasn't that great, this one. But no, I said to him, how was it? I said, oh, yeah, about the games coming up, Ireland, Uzbekistan. I said, something that they're really important, aren't they? And he goes, listen, they're always going to be important. You know, in fact, he goes, I wish I'd actually had the Uzbekistan game a little earlier than I scheduled it for and a little bigger gap between the two of them. But he said, yeah, they are always, and I said, well, are you nervous? Because he goes, Flores isn't here right now, right? Flores is playing, I think, tonight or tomorrow for Tigres. I said, yeah, you must be nervous. He goes, I'm not nervous. I can't be nervous. I'm a coach. I have to be positive. I really believe in, like, kind of pushing the positive energy onto these guys, and it will eventually, you know, they will believe it. I cannot, as a coach, watch games and worry about the worst case scenario, which is what I do. As a fan,
he'd never sleep, right?
Yeah, yeah, precisely. You would. You'd be like completely just a comatose.
Yeah.
Walking around like a zombie, thinking all the time, you know, you've got to be able to enjoy this too, I suppose.
Just the fact that he brought that up means he's thinking about it all the time.
Yeah, probably.
I watched the TSN on YouTube, the reveal, the roster reveal, and at the end, Jesse was being interviewed for it, and it was quite interesting because I was just like, he's so positive, and at the end of it I just said, well, in Jesse we trust. Like, he is all in, and going back to this four-year packaged contract he just signed, with what we know now with Kevin Blue kind of being a part of the growth of and development of Canada soccer. But he just seems like at ease, and he doesn't misspeak, and it's all authentic. And he said, I guess I'm getting tired of all these injury questions. And it was, I forget, Luke Weilman or someone who was interviewing him. And it was funny that he did a pushback, because he just got, you know, in that moment, he just kind of got tired of talking about all the injuries.
But he, like, just blurted it out as a statement. He's like, I guess I'm getting tired of this.
Yeah. I don't want to hear any more of these. And it spun differently. And it just made me. Yeah.
So he said himself, he goes, I'm really relaxed right now. I'm not stressed about this. He goes, this is a relaxing time for us. He said, and the word calm, kept using the word calm throughout the press conference all week, he's been saying. And he goes, it is very calm. The energy at this camp, I mean, I haven't seen much of it. It is a lot lower than it generally is. Now, is that calmness or is it anxiety? I'm not sure, but he is really kind of bringing down the, it's okay. I mentioned this to Chef. I said, it's just a football tournament, right? You play at Copa, you know, you play at Gold Cup. It's just when the ball starts being kicked, it's just a football tournament. Okay, it's the World Cup. I get it. But really, your mindset from a player and a coach is so different, I think, to the fans and the media. We do kind of overreact and build this thing up to this thing that it can't possibly reach.
It's different, man.
Yeah. It's different.
I tell you what, I was down there getting my credentials the other day, and I'm walking around, and it's like, it's buttoned down. Like okay, they're going to wrap the stadium. We're talking about the art of the temporary stands and all this crap, right? From the inside, it's going to look really, really good. And it's when a team roll up there, they rock up to that stadium, it's going to feel different. Like even TFC guys are like playing in big games down there. No. There's just something different. Like it's there's fencing everywhere and it's a security. There's just something big about to happen. It's pretty amazing.
Did they grab you any certain way while you were trying to sneak in? Like was
they did, yeah. I left my license down there, right? So my license, they were like, yeah, they were taking like bets on when I was going to come and pick it up because it was like over a week.
Was it busy down there?
Where's your pass? And I said, "What the pass?" And I go, "Yeah, they showed me one." I said, "No, well, it was kind of like that, but it said like visitor on it and didn't look like much. Looked like you just throw it away type thing." Oh no, that's why you kept your license. You're supposed to give it back. And so where is it? And I'm like, I don't know. I left it in the back room like 10 days ago. I don't know.
Toronto Stadium now knows what it's like to work with Craig Forrest.
Exactly. Now you know.
Now you know.
Was it
other lineups, Craig, for getting the accreditation? Or is it pretty quick?
What's that?
Go there next. Is it the lineups to get accreditation or is it pretty quick?
Oh no! It was really fast. Oh, there's nobody. There was nobody there. There and the volunteers, amazing. I don't know what they're going to be like at the end of the tournament, but they were all over. They were really good. It was a good experience.
Have we elevated the buzz level now? Now we got the squad.
Oh, when you go down there, you go, and then now with that the squad, I think it feels like it. Although, fuck, if you can change it. I don't know what the swap guys in and out.
I know. I mean,
what does that actually mean?
Yeah. Precisely. Ideally, you just wait until the 10th of June. But every club team wants to do this and make a big show of it, right? Don't they? That's why they do it. Even though it really does mean nothing. You can just say, oh, no, this guy's hurt. This guy's hurt. Bring this guy.
Five guys.
You can change goalies anytime.
Yeah.
You can bring a goalie at any time.
It'll look good. I thought they did a nice job with the show. As far as the going through the whole process.
But they made a mistake, though, because they started with you. And then the bar was set so high, they couldn't reach it afterwards. So that was the only mistake. I would have left you, the goalies, till last, personally.
That's good. Everyone at TSN, now you know how James Sharmwood would do it.
Yeah, because we got end on a high, and Craig Forrest stole the show in those lovely, tight jeans.
Yeah, goalkeepers, like man. It's tough. It's a tough world being a goalkeeper. It can be very lonely, underappreciated.
Do you see Max? Did they show the press conference afterwards? Did you see that or not?
Mm-mm. Probably not. I just saw some clips on Twitter.
Max is so
Twitter.
Calm and cool and chill, right? He's so like, it ain't no thing. I'm just going to play the World Cup. You know, it's fine. He's just calm and cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny. I was dissecting the photo that they sent out announcing the team, like who was in the front. I know I do that. I know it doesn't mean anything or it shouldn't, but it was a great looking team, mix of brown and black and beige and great looking young men who will represent us well. That's how I felt about it.
It's all about looks. It's all about.
Well, sometimes it is. There's
who's the ugliest team, do you think? Who's going to be the ugliest team at the World Cup?
Ooh, that's a bad.
I mean, I don't want to say Scotland.
But you might.
You just did.
I'm being half Scottish, I can say it.
Okay. Right, Jimmy?
No.
He's not impressed.
Hey, no.
They're good-looking squad, England those Celtic boys.
Mm. Scott McTominay on that, what, five-pound note? What note is he on? The overhead kick?
Scott McTominay.
There you go, right?
There will be someone that does the hotties, the hottest teams and the ugliest teams of the World Cup. There will be that will be done at some point.
Oh, are you kidding? It'll be probably. And the hottest girlfriends and the hottest wives and the hottest partners, and
that'll be in there as well.
Be on our newsletter next.
It will be. Yeah. All right. So that's it. This is you're getting this on probably Saturday morning, probably, right?
Yeah. Saturday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Monday is Uzbekistan. We're back on Monday. And a few days later is Ireland. And then the real shenanigans begin. So I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you. Give us your thoughts on the squad. What were your squad? Was it the same as yours? Did you get any names wrong or right? Let us know. Anything else we should be talking about?
Just most surprised. And it's funny because our friend Asa Rahman texted us and just said, can you feel the buzz now? He got all excited over the internet.
Yeah, he's been pushing Ralph.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He has been.
That game against Uzbekistan could be like one of those walking football games.
Yeah.
Nobody's
right? I know.
That's true.
Like,
that is true.
It's as important as they are. It's like, oh, my God. Like, I just get through the 90 minutes. Like,
everyone's in their bubble boy outfits.
Yeah. Get a nice little run out. Get some fitness out of it. Shit.
Okay. Let's go. I'm tired.
Okay.
Is that what? What's the thing?
No, I was just going to speak to Asa kind of and say I didn't think Prizo, if everybody was healthy, maybe this is a different conversation, but I think Joel was always going to win out over Ralph, even if people thought that he had the pace and he was the guy, didn't matter his stature, that he had the flexibility, he could move him into the middle of the park, that he had more upside. But I think you had a guy in Joel Waterman who had been a good soldier and he was trusted. So I think if Ralph had had a little bit more time under Jesse, then I think it would have been Ralph. But I think that Joel has earned it. You know what I mean?
He's 23. He will have other opportunities. If not,
he'll have an opportunity. Like you guys said.
It's not over yet.
There's going to be someone.
I just mean this list that's staring us in the face here. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. We'll look at some futures pretty soon, actually, and we'll see. Oh, Craig's raising his finger.
Make it legendary, man.
Oh, yeah, make it legendary. Point to me. Better say. Right. One more thing to say here. Jimmy's dying to go right now.
Yeah, I'm dying.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to us. Gang,
thank you very much. Cheers very much for listening, and we'll chat to you on Monday.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.